Did everybody get an outline on the Believer's Bill of Rights? Everybody got the outline? Anybody not get the outline? Raise your hand. All right. If the ushers would help us. We have some extra ones back there. We do. Keep your hand up if you didn't get an outline called the Believer's Bill of Rights. We're kind of excited. Our family, my mom and dad, are moving down tonight. And so we're going up to after service, go pick them up in Mobile. I'm not excited about loading their entire house with 80 some years of stuff. So we'll be doing that tonight and tomorrow morning and then trying to get back here tomorrow night. But the good thing is, how many are excited? Are you excited for us? How many would like to help me tomorrow night unload all that stuff? I got a crew that's going to help us in Mobile, and I think we can get it all done. I don't know if we can get it all done tomorrow night or not. I may be wishful thinking, but that's my goal in life. So if you'd like to help, we're going to try to do it about 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And if I'm not here, that means I didn't make it. Come on, somebody. That's kind of the route of it. So, all right. I want everybody to stand up this morning, if you would. I've got a little ambitious teaching today, and I think it's going to be two Sundays instead of one. But I want to talk to you today about the Believer's Bill of Rights. Back when our Constitution was written, many believed that it could lead into tyranny, and that is over our lives. And so there was demanded to be addition to the Constitution something called the Bill of Rights, and that was where our rights were being guaranteed. In terms of individual rights, right to assembly, right to free speech, and on and on. And the original Bill of Rights, there were 12 Bill of Rights presented. 10 of them were adopted. And then as the years have gone by, as you know, many others have been added to the Bill of Rights that gives us our ability as rights as citizens. If you've ever been around the world, you can tell an American from any other species on the planet. That's because we've got rights. And many of the countries that we go to, they don't understand something called a constitution. And some of them don't understand exactly what a Bill of Rights is. But Americans know that. You may not know what all's in it, but you just automatically know that, hey, everybody say, I got rights. I got rights because I'm an American. And they learn very quickly in many of the countries you don't have rights. You may be an American, but when you're in their country, you come under their law. When you go into the Netherlands, if you know this or not, the Netherlands have a free policy about marijuana and some drugs where they have marijuana cafes. You can walk down the streets of Amsterdam, which I've done. There's a cafe. They're all sitting out, not drinking Coke, coffee, cappuccino. They're smoking marijuana. And you go to the counter, you pay your money, get a marijuana cigarette. You sit back down, you sit. If you got on a plane in Amsterdam and flew to Singapore, on the flight to Singapore, they would give you a customs card going into Singapore. And along with that customs card, they would give you a form that would say this in big letters. If you bring illegal drugs into this country, you will be executed. There will be no ands, ifs, buts, whatever. You can be smoking legally in one country and then go to another. Let me say something. How many thank God you're an American? You have rights today. Now, beyond that, not only do you have rights as an American, the Apostle Paul did the same thing. When he was about to be beaten one time, the Bible says he looked at the centurion that would ordered him to be beaten, and he said, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen that has not been condemned? And they didn't know, he knew he was a Jew, they didn't know that Paul was a Roman citizen, which he was. And he used his rights as a Roman citizen to protect himself from the beating. And that's what people say, what do you think, Pastor? Can we use the law to protect ourselves? I said, the Apostle Paul did. And I do a whole teaching one night on about lawsuits and what I think is right and wrong and what you can or cannot do. But Paul used his rights as a Roman citizen to keep himself from taking a beating. He didn't take a beating every time when he had the opportunity to use it. But not only along with earthly rights, but the Bible talks about there are rights as believers because you're not only a citizen of America, you're a citizen of another nation. Come on, somebody. Our citizenship is from heaven. And along with that citizenship, there is a Bill of Rights, and we call it the Bible. Everybody say the Bible. Can you say the Bible? It's called the Bible, and it's our Bill of Rights. It's what we have rights to. It's what's been promised us. It's what our protection is. It's what the Lord has given us. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the Believer's Bill of Rights. And let's bow our heads and let's pray this morning. Father, We love you. We thank you. Lord, if we receive nothing else but what you have given us, it's enough. But Lord, you've given us so much more. You've given us precious promises to partake of life. You've given us precious things in the Word of God that we can take hold of and see brought to pass in our life and in the lives of our kids and the lives of our loved ones, the lives of our city and state and nation and world. And so, Lord, this morning, open our eyes, quicken our spirits. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around. Somebody said the Believer's Bill of Rights. Just say it to somebody, would you? The Believer's Bill of Rights. While you're doing that, you can be seated today. I'm going to talk to you about 12 different things. And we're not going to get to them all today. I can already tell you that. But the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what you need to understand is this. There is an ability to not know something and get in trouble. If you ever been around somebody and you knew that if they'd have known everything about it, they could have protected themselves or changed the situation. They just didn't know. Hosea says it this way. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you. There is a need to understand that you need to know your rights, because we deal with an enemy who steals from you. And if you don't know your rights as a believer, then you will be stolen. Your stuff will be stolen. You will become a victim of an enemy that is after you, that knows all the ins and outs, and you will be destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you do not know the truth, you cannot be saved. Go to the next scripture, if you would. Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in me, truly you're my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you will come in bondage. If you don't know the truth for your children, they'll come in bondage. If you don't know the truth for your finances, they will come in bondage. If you don't know the truth about a number of things in your life, you will come in bondage in that area. And you'll wonder why, because you don't know the truth, because you're destroyed and being destroyed for your lack of knowledge. The Bible says it over and over. Did I have Acts 22? Did I have that one up there? You can go to the next one. Now, when you begin to do this, I'm going to talk to you about, verse John 5:13 says, I write these things to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The number one right that you need to know as a believer is this. Number one. Do I have that? Do I put those up there? Put number one up. The right to know that all my sins are forgiven and that I have received the gift of eternal life. That's number one. If you want to fill it out on your paper. This is the number one right that you have as a believer. And that is to know that all my sins are forgiven and that I have received the gift of eternal life. Have you ever talked to somebody who says, you know, just talking a long conversation, somehow it comes up that you know that you're going to heaven. And have you ever had anybody look at you and say, well, nobody can know that. Let me tell you, you can know that. Nobody can know for sure if they're going, oh yeah, really? Look back at 1 John chapter 5. Look at the scripture, what it says. I write these things to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might what? That you might what? That you have eternal life. I've learned this. You can know that you have eternal life. You have the right to go to bed at night with your head on your pillow and know if I don't wake up, I'll wake up in heaven today. Come on. I have the right to know that I have eternal life. See, the world will bring you into bondage of fearing and wondering, and I don't know if I'm really saved or not saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not going to heaven. That is a bondage that you can be free from when you know the truth that these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know you're going to heaven. You're going to know that God is your Father. You can know that Jesus is your Savior. You can know that the blood has washed you clean. You can know all these things. It's your right as a believer. It's one of those bills of right. I want to put it as number one, that your sins are forgiven. You're washed clean. There's nothing in your life. Isaiah 43 says it this way. He says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I'm going to tell you something. When you woke up this morning, you have a right to know this, that nobody on God's green earth has a right to bring up yesterday. If you've forgiven, if you've asked forgiveness for it and God's cleansed you by his blood, nobody can bring that up against you today. Come on, somebody. You're clean. And if anybody does, it's not God, because God said, I won't remember your sins anymore. If somebody brings it up, it's not the Lord, it's not the angelic host, it's not anybody on the righteous side. That must mean it must be the one trying to steal your peace and your sleep. And if you don't know the truth, you'll be destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't know the truth, you'll stay in bondage all your life. You'll fret over every sin you ever did. You'll worry about everything you ever did in your past. But when you get your bill of right and you know you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you can say with all your heart, God will not remember my sins against me anymore. I'm clean as clean can be. Come on, somebody. Give me one more good clap offering this morning, would you? Come on. Listen, I've always said this. Whenever you get that envelope and that letter stating about all your past, you can do it just so you can sing with Elvis, Return to Cinda. Come on, somebody. I always wonder who Cinda was, some girl or something. But Return to Cinder. And so when you do that, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Everybody say eternal life. Let me tell you something I learned about God. I'm not waiting to get eternal life. I've got eternal life right now. I don't get it when I die. The Bible says, go look at the next scripture. It says, I write these things so you believe that you may know you have eternal life. Go to the next scripture. He says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let me tell you something. I believe in him. That means I'm never going to die. Oh, this body's going to fall down and go to dust from which it came, but the real me will never die. When this one day when these old eyes close, these eyes inside will never close. I'll go to eternal glory. You need to know that if I got shot right now and fell down of a heart attack or something, I wouldn't fall down. I'd still be standing looking at everyone. Come on, somebody. I'm 90 years old. I'll be sitting right here one day. I'll just conk over and you'll think he's gone. I'll be standing here looking at everyone. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because I've got eternal life in me right now. I don't have to worry. I have the right as a believer to tell and say with all the confidence I've got, I have eternal life. I will never die. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever. I don't know if you saw Steve Jobs died this week, the one of the founders of Apple. And he had, and back in 2005, he gave a tremendous, though it wasn't a Christian speech, it was the Stanford University commencement. And he talked about, because he'd had a tumor on his pancreas and he thought he was going to die. And he talked about the facing death and what it does to you and all that, that it really washes away all the fears of trying new things and all that, because the fear of failure is gone. The fear of this is gone. The fear of that is gone. He really didn't know the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. When you know you have eternal life and you're never going to die, you can be fearless as a lion. You can stand and do whatever, because listen, time is not running out on you. Time is not shortening. You have eternal life. John 11 says, he that believeth in me shall never die. Everybody say shall never die. Look at somebody, say, I shall never die. I said to somebody, say, I shall never die. You need to know this. You need to get to the place where you stop looking at your worthiness to be saved. And you begin saying, the Lamb is worthy. Because your salvation is not based on your worthiness. It's based on his worthiness. And whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, his worthiness stays the same. I told you when the Jews used to walk and go to the altar to bring their sacrifice to be cleansed from their sins, they were never thinking about themselves. The law always said you've got to bring a lamb that is perfect without spot and blemish. And the only thing on every Jew's heart was not whether they were good enough or not, whether their lamb was perfect or not. And you need to get that out of your brain, whether you're good or not. You just need to say whether Jesus is good or not. And on your worst days, he's still worthy. Come on, somebody. And you're free. Everybody say, it's my right to know my sins are forgiven and I have eternal life. Give me one more good clap off. What'd you say? Come on. Number two is this, the right to divine healing. And let me tell you, I love this book. I've been reading it. I'm on the fourth time reading it through. And that's Reinhard Bonnke's book on his life story. because I don't think there's a man on the earth right now that's seen as many miracles as Reinhard Bonnke has. When you go to his crusades, miracle after miracle after miracle after, it's unbelievable. He said the first time it ever happened, I was just praying. Somebody started screaming and he said, 9 blind people got their eyes healed. They were complete. They could see. And he said, and a man came up and said, explain this to me. And he said, you explain it to me. I haven't got a clue. I don't know what's happened. And he talked about, and you ought to see the crusades where just one miracle after another happens. But he talks about one of his chapters in his books. He says, my own mother, who saw miracle after miracle in provision and bringing us out of Prussia, not all that where they came out of. He said she lay dying in the hospital in Germany, and all of our prayers seemingly to no avail. And he said, and yet I'm standing on a platform watching blinded eyes and crippled lame and miracle after. He said, I'm the first one to tell you, I don't have a clue how all this works. He said, all I got to do, I got to make a decision. He said, because he had brothers that had become agnostics and they began to point toward that and say, look what God didn't do for our mother after all that mom did for him. And he said, I had a choice to make. I could either choose the one of bitterness or the choice of blessing. And he said, I decided to choose blessing is I don't understand everything there is about healing. And I don't understand why there's miracles happening here. And my own mom is lying dying in a hospital room in Germany. But he said, but I chose the way of blessing. Come on, somebody. And so I'll be the last one to say, listen, but there, in the Bible, in your Bill of Rights, there is a right to divine healing. Look at the scripture. Look what it says. I will restore health to you. And your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast in Zion. I will restore health to you. Look at the next scripture. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health. And above, listen, and all goes well with your soul. I went to Korea one time and Dr. Cho, Korea had been during a war, one of the wars, Korea had been devastated by Japan. And Korea came out of it as literally just devastated. And Dr. Cho, who has one of the largest churches in the world, on his mantle, when you walk into his church, this is a scripture he's got. And he put it up there for a reason, because the Lord told him, build up the people. Tell them their inheritance. Tell them what they have. Tell them that this is their inheritance in me. And on his scripture, he began to build him up. And now his church is one of the largest churches in all the world. And you've got to come to that place where you begin to understand that and live it, that this is a right. If you don't stir up your spirit on some of these things, you will stay in bondage. I don't have a clue. I don't have all the answers on it. I know this. I fought all week with an illness in my own body. But I do this. I never choose bitterness where I turn and say, oh, it's all nothing. I'm still reaching for God and stir yourself up. Look at the next scripture. This is what it says. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord. Everybody say, I am the Lord. Your healer. I am the Lord, your healer. Look what Jeremiah 30 says. Alas, that day is so great, there is none like it. It's a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. And the word saved there means to restore. It means to take back ground that you've lost. Let me tell you something. Some of you have lost ground. You've lost ground because you've given into bitterness. You're giving into the conjectures of why this and that didn't happen. And I'm going to tell you, you need to come back to a time when you begin to say, I'm going to take back the ground that I've given. Look what Proverbs says. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. You know, the word, the Bible says that the word of God is powerful. You ever been talking to somebody and they're just talking to you and then you got mad at them? You ever been that way? I mean, they just made you mad. They didn't hit you. They didn't come up and shake you. They didn't reach over and grab your pocketbook. All they did was say something and it made you mad as a hornet. Am I right or wrong? If an earthly person's word is so strong on you, why don't you let God's word affect you like that? Let what God says to you begin to affect you. Let it begin to stir you up. Let it begin to make meat to your bones. It'll be by their life for those who find them and healing to your flesh. Look what the next scripture says. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Won't you let God's word come into your life? Let it stir you like you let some other people's words stir you up. Come on, come on. All the mad people say amen. Come on. He sent his word. All right, number three. Number three is the right to come boldly before the throne of God in prayer and receive miraculous answers to prayer. You have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace. You have a right to come boldly before the throne of God in prayer and receive miraculous answers to prayer. Look what Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us, and the old King James says it this way, come boldly. Doesn't mean proudly. It doesn't mean, you know, haughtily. It just means come boldly before the throne of God. That means you have a, listen, as a citizen of that other country, as a believer's Bill of Rights, you have a right to come boldly into the throne of God. If that would have been given any subject in any land where we knew what kingships were. See, we live in a democracy where we think, but even today, nobody in here has a right to march boldly or go do what they want to do right into the Oval Office. But in God's kingdom, you have a right to boldly go into the Oval Office of heaven. Come on, somebody. You can come right in, not haughtily, not proudly, but you can boldly. That means with confidence. You can walk right into the Oval Office of the Most High God and begin to petition him of your needs. You, listen, as a believer, you have the right to come boldly. But you cannot sit back passively. If you don't know this truth, you'll stay in bondage. If you don't know this truth, the devil will steal from you. Because you've got to ask or you won't receive. And you've got to ask in faith, not wavering, or you won't receive. And if you don't know the truth, if you don't know you're right, you'll passively whine and whine and whine to somebody why this and that isn't going on in your life. When God said, I've given you the real rights to come boldly to the throne of grace, to find help in time of need. I will do what I said I will do, but you've got to do what I've given you the authority to do. You've got to come boldly, before confidently coming to begin to ask me of these things. See, the truth is, until you know it, you will not be set free. You will stay in bondage. You've got to come boldly. You've got to be able to know this. I'm washed in the blood. I'm accepted not because I'm worthy, because my lamb was worthy. I can walk into the throne of God because I'm washed by his blood. I'm cleansed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Those things are not just little things you say and nonsense. You've got to get them in your heart and in your spirit and walk it out that way. And then you know that you know that you know that you have the right. Everybody say amen again, would you? Number four. You have the right. Listen, you have the right to see God's provision meet all of my needs and the needs of others. You have a right to see God's provision meet all of my needs and the needs of others. Oh, really? Look at what Philippians. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians. And my God will supply how many needs? Oh, I thought that said greed. Oh, that said need, right? It didn't say greed. It said need. My every need, listen, of yours according to his riches and glory. You know the word and is a conjunction. It means something's attached. And that was where they had done what God told them. They had given, and it shall be given unto you. There are prerequisites to some of these. It's as long as you abide, you have the right to do this. And so the Bible says God will meet, God will help, God will supply every need of your. If you don't know that, he'll still kill and destroy you. If you don't know that, he'll bring you into bondage. If you don't know that he is willing, he will do that. He will help you. The Bible says all of it. Luke 11 and 13 says, If you then are evil, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Let me tell you something. If my daughter needed food, how many think I'd give her food? If my son needed a car, how many think I'd get him a car? Am I a better parent than my Father in heaven? He knows that you have need of these things. And I'm going to tell you, he's a better dad than I ever been in my life. He's a better parent than I've ever been. And if I will do these things, Jesus one time says, if you being evil will do these good things for your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father do it for you? You got to know that as a right. You're a child of the living God. You belong to him. He is yours and you are his. I like Matthew 6. I love this. This is some of my favorite scripture says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What you'll eat or drink or about your body, what you put on, or is it more than food and the body's more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Neither they sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your Heavenly Father. See, this is the Father relationship. Your Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Can you imagine? It's a picture of a father going out feeding the livestock and then come back in, won't feed you, won't feed his kids. Come on, somebody. He's got lots of animals out there. The Bible says, just go out any day. Just go out any day of the week. And see if you see birds out there and look at them and see if they're worrying themselves to death where the next worm's coming from. Come on, somebody. Wonder if there'll be worms tomorrow. There'll be worms tomorrow. Well, you know why? Because the Heavenly Father is feeding them worms. Thank you, God, you don't feed us worms. But he's feeding them worms out there. And he says, think about your father. He goes and he feeds the livestock every day. Goes every day, feeds the rabbits, feeds the turtles, feeds the, you know, the snakes, feeds them all. And then you're worrying whether your father will come back in and feed you at night. Whether your father will provide for you. I haven't one time heard of a bird that died of a nervous breakdown. Come on, somebody worrying about whether there's going to be enough money in the stock market tomorrow. You know why? Because they know their Heavenly Father will feed them. Can I get a better amen? Which of you being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? The lilies of the field. He said, look here, just walk out and see what he did to the lilies. Just when you walk and just look at a weed. Look at a weed going up in the pavement. And see if it's clothed real nice. And then think, who did that? I'm going to tell you who did that. God did that. And then think, if he did it for that one, and that's just a little flower, how much more will he do it for me? Because he's a better parent. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God, who clothed the grass? Tell me that. Tell me that. Who put the yellow in those flowers? Who put the petals there? God did. Who did? You see some of these animals? You ever see some of these animals? How many know that we serve a God that has a sense of humor? You saw some of these animals that have colors all over them. And there's a monkey with a big old, I won't even say, big old red patch right on his behind. I mean, who clothed that monkey that way? Then look at some of you. I got my, all right, let's go. All right, so he clothes the grass. He clothes the grass of the field, which today I'm going to, will he not much more, what? Clothe you. You have a right to your needs. You have a right to that. The Bible says, and Jesus came back. Look at the next scripture. He says, you have a right. Don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The Gentiles seek it, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Listen, don't borrow sorrow from tomorrow. Today is sufficient thereof. You have a right to your needs met. Why is that? Because you're good? No. Because you're perfect? No. Because you're all right? No. You know why? Because you are a child of a father who has promised you that he's clothing and feeding the livestock and feeding the flowers and clothing the flowers. He said, I'll feed you and I will, come on somebody, I will clothe you and I will feed you. You have a right to that. You know why? Because you're in relationship with a good father. Give him a good clap on. Will you come on? Give him a good clap one more time. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs, every need according to his riches. All right, number five, the right to see my children, my grandchildren, and my loved ones walking with the Lord. I have a right to that. I have a right to that. I remember when I first met Jasmine, I said to myself, my kids don't stand a chance. Come on, somebody. Because I know my side of the family love God. My parents love God, serve God. I know my Jasmine's side of the family love God, serve God. I said, my kids don't stand a chance. They're going to walk with God. And listen, I have a right to see my children and my grandchildren and my loved ones walking with the Lord. David recovered all. Don't settle for anything less than all your children and your grandchildren. 1 Peter 3:9 says this. I like this. It says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. How many know God does not want your grandchild to perish? He doesn't want your child to perish. He doesn't want your son, your daughter. He doesn't want your niece, your nephew. He doesn't want your granddaughter, your grandson. He does not want them to perish. So know this, he's on your side. Know this, he's with you in your tears. Know this, he's standing there beside you, encouraging us. And so he says, look at the next scripture, what it says. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. How could he say that? How could he say that? That he said, I don't know, maybe your household might be saved. Well, maybe it will. You know, it depends whether they believe or not. Let me tell you something. There is an authority as a father, a mother over a household. You can speak things into existence. They come to the point where they make their own decisions and they're on their own. I understand that. But there's never been removed that position God's put us in. We can bring them to the edge. They have to make that decision on their own, but we can stand in faith and believe. And so the Bible says he came and says, you and your household, your children may be away from God. I'm going to tell you something. Grandchildren on drugs, it aches your heart to see it. But I'm going to tell you, here's a word from God. Isaiah 54:13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You come to that place where you begin to say it over and over. My children will know the Lord. My children will serve the Lord. My children shall stand up for God. My grandkids will stand up for God. I like what Acts 2:39 says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for the promise unto you and for your children, all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise is for you and for your children. The promise is for you and for your children. Every time I've received a promise, I said, Lord, this is for me and my children. Lord, this is not just for, this is for my children too. This is for my grandchildren. I'm believing God. You know what? Let me give you three ways to see your family saved. Number one is this. You've got to get it in your heart, and in your heart, let it come out of your mouth. You got to start speaking, they shall be saved. You got to stop thinking, man, that grandchild of mine, that's the meanest, roughest, rah, rah, rah. You got to put it in your mouth, that child shall be saved. You got to say, you know, you got some children where you say, you know, somebody said, you know, by the time they get ready to leave home, you're ready for them to leave home. Come on, somebody. But you got to get to this place. You got to come to the place in your life where you say, but they shall be saved. They shall be saved. Everybody say they shall be saved. You got to start saying, you don't say I'm in prayer and looks like they're getting worse. You got to say they shall be saved. Number two is you got to pray for them every day. Because when you pray for your lost loved ones, you give God an inroad into the battle. God's looking for an inroad into the battle of your child. God's looking for an inroad into the battle of that situation. God's looking for an inroad. He put you as authority over them. You're the key. You're the head. You have the right to open that lid up and say, God, come on in. Come into their lives. Begin to speak to them. Go in. Let me tell you, God has been to many a bar in Baton Rouge. Come on, somebody. Somebody think we in him, we move and live and have our being. How many know God can speak to one of your children sitting at a bar in Baton Rouge? They can be at a bar in Boston and God can still speak to their heart. Let me tell you, God can go in and speak. And I mean, God can do a work in your life. I remember this. I was lost as a goose. I'd gotten away from God. I was sitting in a physics class in Virginia Tech University. And I remember there was a call of God on my life. And when I was a young boy and I got away from it, I was going to be an electrical engineer. And I remember sitting in a physics class in this university. And I'll never forget it in all my heart. I'm just sitting there and I'm so excited about being an engineer and electrical and EE major. And I remember this person teaching this class that, now, 200 years ago, we believed this, but then we discovered that wasn't true. And then 150 years ago, we changed and began to believe this. And then we found out 100 years ago that wasn't true, so we changed. And 50 years ago, we believed this, and now we no longer believe that, but now this is. And he says, and now we believe. And I'm sitting there thinking, you follow the line of progression with me? And I'm thinking, what am I learning? Something's going to be wrong in 50 years. I don't know if you saw the latest. I love this kind of stuff. I don't know if you saw the latest they did out of Geneva, out of the big Atom Smasher. They did that thing they changed. There has been a report given out on confronting Einstein's theory of relativity in terms of light. Have you saw that? You saw that report out? In terms of now, they think they found something faster than light. Have you saw that? You haven't seen that? It said it's the equivalent. It turns everything. It's the equivalent of shooting a rifle, and the bullets getting to the place before you pull the trigger. I'll leave that right there. Then number C, I know we're way off. And then C is this. C is live it before them. Three preachers were arguing one time, what's the best version of the Bible? One said King James only. The only thing. They said, no, I like the New American Standard. And then the third one said, no, I like my mama's translation. Your mama translated the Bible? Yeah, she lived it out every day in front of me. Come on, somebody. And the best translation they'll ever see of the Bible is your life that you live in front of your kids. You know, many a child and many a person has gotten turned off from God because of somebody. You've got to live it in front of them. Then number six, I think it's about as far as we'll go. Number six is this, the right to loving and fulfilling relationships. The right to loving and fulfilling. You have a right to a loving and fulfilling. Notice I did not say marriage. Come on, somebody. But you have a right to loving and fulfilling relationships. You have a right to that. Some people, they live lives that can be summed up. That old bar song says, looking for love in all the wrong faces. Come on, looking for love in what? All the wrong. And they have a life where they've done that. Their lives have been looking in the wrong faces and places. They never get loving relationships because they don't understand this one thing. When you get married, you just don't get the person's car and bank account and pillows and couch. You get their soul. You get their spirit comes into that marriage also. You get, not only you get them, you get their mama, you get their daddy, you get their brothers, and you get the whole package when you get married. You didn't know that when you got married, but you get the whole shebang. You get their attitudes, you get their problems. And Genesis 2 and 18 says this. The Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he doesn't have to be always fulfilled only by marriage. Can be fulfilled by relationships. It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. And God said it's not good. God saw the aching emotional void in his heart, even though he had everything else. And I want you to notice what it says in Genesis 2:22. It says, and the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made it into a woman. And everybody say brought. Let me tell you what I've learned about the Lord. The Lord will bring the right person into your life. if you have the ability to wait on him and let God bring the person in your life. I used to, and most of you don't remember this, but I used to be single here. 7 years I pastored this church single. Let me tell you, you sit on the front row a lot with single girls a lot, right on the front row. That's the truth. And they was put there by their friends and fathers and other people and in hopes that, you know, whatever. But the Bible says Adam didn't go looking for a wife. The Bible says God brought a wife. Now, if he went looking, he wouldn't have found nobody because nobody was there. But God brought him a wife. And the Bible says he was brought. Listen, God will bring the right people into your life if you'll trust him and stand on your rights and believe. I have a right to a loving and fulfilling relationship in my life. I have a right to that. And you begin to claim that and believe it. And Romans 8 says, listen, they of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, and they of the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. Let me tell you the biggest thing you'll ever have. You better watch out that you don't get hooked up with a fleshly person. And the only reason you get hooked up together is because of flesh liking flesh. You know why? Because flesh don't last. Flesh turns into baldness, bifocals, bunions, and bulges. Come on, somebody. And that's the truth. And if all you got together on was flesh, ooh, she's pretty. Ooh, he's handsome. I'm gonna tell you, all those things are gonna drop over time. All right, how that some things go up, some things go down, and if you're not connected on more of a level than that, you're in big trouble. Come on, somebody, because you're going. If that's all you were attracted to, you're in big trouble down the road, and you've got to come. All you've got is a flesh. You need a spirit relationship. You need to come. I remember we just prayed. I just said I wouldn't, you know, I didn't like to date a lot and all this and that. It just was awkward and all da da da. And I just went. I said, Lord, you're gonna have to bring the person into my life you want in my life. And you should have seen the day I went to Israel and I met Jasmine. I proposed in. I know we only knew each other a few weeks, and I proposed to. I mean, a few days within a week or so. I proposed from meeting her. I'm gonna tell you, you can do that when you're 30. You can't do that when you're 18, but you can do that when you're 30. And I proposed. And I remember coming back here, and I'll never forget, you ought to see in this place, the day that I announced, I have met somebody. They all cheered. Blah, blah, blah. I said, he was a good friend. I really liked enjoying him. They all did. But I remember how the Lord will bring into your life. And listen, not only in terms of marriage, but in terms of friendship. Maybe you need a friend in your life. You need to pray. You don't need a fleshly friend. You need one of the spirit. You need one that's spirit with you. One that can be. You have a right to good. You have a right to friends in your life. Jesus had friends in his life. Jesus had a lot of good friends in his life. Those that were there. And it was just something the Lord did for their lives. And God did it over and over. Everybody say amen this morning. All right. My last six are my best, but I'm going to leave those for next week. All right. I had a big finale, big, you know, how I like to do these big endings. I'm just going to leave it right there because we had a little bit late today. But let me tell you something. One of the biggest things I've dealt with people is the fear of really believing or not if they're saved. And I want to ask you a question this morning, honestly. Do you know, do you have an assurance? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Let me tell you, if you don't, that is a right as a human being that you have on the face of the earth. Every human being has this right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Did you know as a human being you have the right to be saved? No devil, no sin in your past, no darkness, no blackness, no whatever it may be. Nothing along that line can stop you from literally coming and having Jesus cleanse you and wash you, because you have that right as a human. Doesn't matter whether you're American, Italian, Canadian, doesn't matter what you are. You have the right as a human being. That is one of the rights God has given the human race. Every person, whoever has the right to come before God and say, God, I've messed up. I'm a sinner. Would you cleanse me and wash me by your blood? And the Bible says, and God will forgive you and he will become your father and you will have eternal life. And you can have the right then, as number one we talked about, to know that your sins are forgiven, your past is cleansed. I want you to bow your heads this morning, would you? Father, I ask you this morning that you have been so good to us. I cannot even explain it. But Lord, this morning I ask you to touch the lives of those who have never really exercised their right to be saved. But this morning, they're going to exercise their right to be saved. And they're going to say, whosoever will. Doesn't qualify. There's no qualifying factor on that. Whoever. And this morning I pray for those who have never had that right exercised in their life, that this morning they'll choose, Lord, to the right to be saved, the right to have their sins forgiven, the right to know they have eternal life, the right to know they shall never die but live forever. And Father, right now I ask you, would you do the miracle of the new birth? Would you change them by the power of forgiveness of their sins and renew their mind? And this morning, Lord, as they ask you to forgive them, that you let your blood cleanse them and they would be changed forever and ever and ever. How we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen this morning. Can you give Lord a good clap offer? Would you do that? Hug somebody if you would. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. We'll finish this next week.